Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Think Between Worlds podcast, the premier positive podcast. I am Derek.
I'm David.
And that is the first time I think that I've greeted.
Yeah, I think so.
I've done the opening greeting.
Normally, I do the welcome everybody to the Think Between Worlds podcast, and I start with my name and then toss it over to you.
You have that down pat. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome to a woomy episode.
It's very woomy in here.
Woomble. Yes.
It's Splatoon 2, motherfuckers! As we teased in last week's episode, this episode is Splatoon 2, and it comes at a very opportune time. Why am I saying it's an opportune time? Because it is coming up on the 1 year anniversary of this game. Plus, you and I are both big Splatoon fans. We've been playing since the first one.
Yeah, we've wanted to talk about it for quite some time. We were just waiting for it to be relevant.
And
trending.
A really fun thing, we're going to be covering a little bit. The reason why we're talking about this is we recently both completed the Octo expansion. And if you know anything about the 1 year anniversary of this game, they're doing a Splatfest worldwide, squids versus octopi. Octopuses.
Yeah, they got rid of octopi.
Yes, I heard
that. That was a term for a very long time, and well, now they go...
It's like, kind of like Pluto being the ninth planet. It kind of is just never going to go away for me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Pluto will always be a planet in my heart.
I still say octopi, and a lot of people will remind you. You know, now you can say octopuses, and that used to be wrong. Octopi used to be the right. Now it's vice versa. Octopi is the wrong.
Well, octopi was like wrong the entire time, but we all assumed it was right, and no one bothered to correct us. Some scientist came out and was like, oh no, it's octopuses.
Yeah, no, you could say that. Just like people arguing over, what is it, symbiote? Apparently all three are correct. Symbiosis. All three are correct.
But like,
everyone likes symbiote.
Get your head out of your ass, right?
Yeah, it's fucking symbiote.
Anyway, Splatoon 2!
Yeah.
So,
hey, there are many symbiotic organisms in the ocean.
Yes.
So that it's within the theme.
It ties in.
It's within
the theme. Yes, I know.
But yeah, Splatoon 2, a lot like Splatoon 1 and a lot not quite
recently,
like...
Recently. We've got a few new things from this game, the old game. For those of you who don't know Splatoon 2, if you're listening to this podcast, you don't know what Splatoon is, that's cool. You should play it. It's a fun game. Basically, you play as an Inkling. It's like a kid who can turn into a squid.
Yeah.
And the whole point, it's like a first-person shooter, but it's third-person, and the goal is not to shoot other people, although you can do that. The goal is to actually to cover as much turf with your color ink, which is sort of Nintendo's spin on the shooter genre.
Right.
So that's fun.
Yeah. It's like I just said we're the positive podcast, but I'm kind of like, you know, I've never really liked shooters. I almost went on that tangent, but I'll just say it. I've never really been a shooter guy.
Me either. Like, you give me Gears of War or Call of Duty or
right.
Battlefield or whatever. The only shooter I've actually been pretty good at was Metroid Prime, although people wouldn't classify that as a classic shooter.
An adventure shooter.
Yeah, and then also I played through all three Mass Effects because why the fuck wouldn't you?
Well, the story draws you in.
Yeah.
Like, you're running through all those, you know, taking cover, the run and gun sections.
Yeah.
You kind of get, you're hoping to get your new character, you're hoping to meet whoever you're supposed to rendezvous with. You want to complete your crew
and get
the story
moving. And you
want to
know what happens at the end.
Right. Yeah.
Now, with the Splatoon games, we've had the first one. The second one came out 2 years after that.
Right.
After the first one.
Like, not long.
Yeah.
At all.
It was 2 years, because the first one came out in 2015.
Yes, I'm sorry.
And this one came out in last year, 2017.
The first one's 3 years old, but nobody's... Yeah. Except, you know, the breakers. Like, nobody's playing the first one.
Well, it's
first
on,
one can be hacked.
It's on Wii U.
Right.
Yeah, at this point, people can hack it.
Why they would play.
I've seen videos where people have been hacking the Switch, the Splatoon 2. So, that's
beginning to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you get a console you can hook up with a USB cord, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting, to say the least. Splatoon 2... One of my absolute favorite games for the Switch. I have poured more than 170 hours into this thing.
Yeah. I picked up my Switch.
Me more than you.
Yeah, you more so than me. But I basically got my Switch right on time because they were finally beginning to become more widely available, like this time last year. So I think my Switch, this is the year anniversary of me getting my Switch because I'm pretty sure I got it.
For Splatoon.
This week last year. Well, I think it came out July 18th.
The game came out July 21st.
Okay, so it was towards the end of July. Okay.
Yeah.
Over the midway point. But I basically got it, I think, this day last year, the 3rd of July, because I remember it came in right before the 4th. So I got it basically, in preparation for Splatoon 2, because I was pretty hyped about it. But, you know, to kill that time, basically, I was playing Breath of the Wild again. And then, Splatoon. So I really just had those two titles, and then I picked up ARMS.
Which we haven't played in months. I feel so bad. I like that game.
It's a lot like Splatoon. We'll do a
podcast about it.
Yeah.
But Splatoon just, it got over, it right. took over my life.
It's the variety. This one finally has the variety. The first one had variety towards the end of that life cycle, but then by then the Wii U was getting buried
alive. I think at this point, like with Splatoon 2, like versus Splatoon 1, there are way more maps for multiplayer.
Yes, at this point.
There are more modes than Splatoon 1. Yeah. And when it just comes to customization options for weapons and clothing, it has more than three times of the options that were available in Splatoon 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, definitely.
More hairstyles being added all the time, you know.
Yeah, well, I pant wish they would add more for the Octoling, but we'll talk about that.
Right, we'll get around. We'll talk
about expansion. But for now, the main story is you've got to go through as this new Inkling in the town, and you got to go through and take down DJ Octavio again.
Yeah, he was the boss. He's your Bowser of this series. If this goes on to be this long-running IP, he's probably going to be the returning Bowser character, Ganondorf.
I wouldn't mind him being like an assist trophy, like throwing the big fist at you.
Yeah. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll be like a...
That would be cool. They have the Squid Sisters, and they have the Inkling.
Yeah, that would be hilarious. Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah, but usually you just, go through an assortment to, 60 total levels, 6 worlds, 10 each, with the boss at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that I get bored with it, but it's kind of cut and dry, the single-player campaign.
The worlds in the single-player mode that came with the game were a little boring.
Yeah, you figure it out really quick how every formulaic. Single... Yeah.
And the interesting is that if you wanted to unlock the hero versions of all the weapons they give you in this game, you have to beat every single level
with said weapon.
And every single boss with said weapon. And it just was... Oh, God, it was a grind. But I did it. That's right. You were talking to one of the few people in the world who has ever unlocked every single weapon in Splatoon.
Every time
they release a new weapon, I buy it. So
wow.
I am dedicated.
I mean, there's some pretty dedicated people.
Fucking crazy.
Well, there's a lot of dedicated Splatoon players. Like within the first launch day, there were people hitting like level 12.
Oh,
definitely. I was in the hub because you always drop into the hub. That's how you begin your game. Technically, you begin your game with the Squid Sisters and/or the new hosts, Pearl and Marina.
Off the hook.
Right off. They're programs off the hook.
Yeah.
They sign you in. They go, hey, here's the courses for the day. A new weapon's available. It's a news program. It's kind of cool. Yeah. Feels metropolitan. Then you drop into your metropolis and you walk around in a hub area. There were people walking around.
We do wish we could skip that if we wanted to, but it's not currently an option.
We'll do our think between the lines, think between worlds thing where we, what could have been done? And hey, what do you think belongs in Splatoon? What can they do to make a great experience better? We'll do that. We'll get around to that.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, you just drop on in, and then the first day I'm like, oh my god, people are level 12 already. Like, that took 8 to 9 hours of straight gameplay, nonstop. No breaks.
I think that's bad. The first day that I hopped in, I'm not sure if it was the first day the game came out. I don't think it was.
No, you didn't have yours till like October.
That's true, I didn't.
Yeah.
There were people who had already unlocked like every weapon in the game and gotten the hero's clothing, and I was just like, this is fucking crazy, because I was watching you play. And I'm like, how have they already unlocked all this shit?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it's insane. There's pretty dedicated players out there. Well, yeah, you're one of them.
I'm not very good at multiplayer, but I'm learning.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've seen, since this is mostly an online experience, you get to see a lot of play styles. You even learn from your enemies, where you're like, oh my gosh, this guy was doing this thing doing this thing I never even... fucking thought.
While we're covering the multiplayer thing, we should talk about the different kinds of multiplayer modes there are. There's the standard turf war,
that was launch day. That's all we had.
Yes, it's a 3-minute timer. Yeah. You have to cut your team of four versus their team of four.
Yes,
have to cover the turf with all of the ink that you can, and the person with the most percentage of ink in your color wins.
Yeah,
it's
very simple.
Yeah, then they added in the three main modes from the other game. that they had. They had splat zones.
Yeah, towers.
Splat zones, you have to control a certain zone.
A certain zone in your
for 100 seconds. Right. Timer ticks down. And I think, like, the more people that are in the zone, the faster it goes. And if someone takes it back from you, like, they control the zone, you get a time penalty. Which gets tacked on to your original time.
Yeah.
And then you've got tower control, where you have to ride the tower into your opponent's base.
Right.
And that's
my favorite of the competitive, the ranked matches. Because you're ranked in these. This is separate from the average multiplayer.
Yeah.
From the average turf
war. And
you can always play turf war.
As opposed to Splatoon 1, your ranking changes with every game mode. So, for splat zones and tower control,
and Rainmaker.
if you're a Rainmaker, which is the next one we'll describe, if you have an A minus in tower control, you could have a C in splat zones, as opposed to the first game where just your level was whatever it was, depending on what mode you were playing.
Yeah, I didn't even catch on to that till I decided to give a shit about ranked.
Yeah,
like, you know, I don't want to get there till I'm like level 15 or higher.
Yeah. Then in Rainmaker, you've got it's like a special dragon-shaped fish head gun thing that shoots giant bombs.
It barfs vortexes.
No, that's the first game.
The first game, it
was tornadoes. One, it shoots ink bombs.
I don't think I've actually gotten around to a Rainmaker match. I just remember the first game was kind of, vortex of ink.
Yeah.
And it kind of paves a path for you.
And this one, it shoots a bomb that explodes at the end.
Okay.
Very long-range bomb. And it's the same basic thing. You have to get that weapon into your opponent's base on top of a tower that's sitting there. And then...
That's what we started with.
Yeah, so we started with that. And then, later on down the line, they added Clam Blitz, which is a weird mode. Basically, you have to go around and collect 10 clams, walk those clams that have now transformed into a giant football into your opponent's base and throw it into a net. Essentially, and you have each clam worth like 3 points, and the power clam, the big one, worth 10 or 20, I think. I can't remember exactly, but yeah, it's worth a lot, and you have to whittle them down from 100 to 0. It sounds ridiculous to describe, but it's actually pretty fun.
I mean, to me, that adds more bang for the buck. It's like, oh, it's another mode. I might not play it, but it's there.
Yeah,
you know, you're able to do more.
Yeah, I actually find it to be very fun. It's just, I'm not very good at it because there's a lot of strategy involved in that one.
I've played like two matches against you as test matching.
Yeah.
It was during test matching, and I was like, ugh. If I was actually put under pressure with a 4v4 scenario, I wouldn't be very good at
this. You could just pick up a support role and just keep dudes from getting into your base. You don't have to actually work the power claim.
I'd probably be better at that.
Yeah. And then this game came with one of the best modes that has ever been invented. You explain this one.
It's a Salmon Run?
Yeah!
See, this is what had me excited. I'm like, oh, I'm getting Splatoon 2. And they added essentially what amounts to the Left 4 Dead Call of Duty zombie-style horde mode.
Mm.
Which is fantastic. Just for the creature designs alone. It's always teams of four. You get dropped into like one of now 5 or 6 stages.
It's 5.
It used to be like 2. We're counting on our fingers.
4 stages.
Yeah, it's around 4. I think maybe it'll settle at 5. They're going to continue to support this game.
Yeah, for a little while.
With content.
They weren't planning on it, but after
due to the success.
The world tournament they did, yeah.
Right. They saw that they had a massive audience. Definitely. You know, we'll get returns on this, you know.
Yeah,
you get dropped in and you're hired by the mysterious Mr. Grizz at Grizzco. Yeah, and I'm to assume maybe it's a grizzly bear talking through a radio at you.
Well, it's a grizzly bear statue.
Yeah, with the piece of salmon in his mouth.
I'm not sure it's an actual bear.
I mean, it could be an inkling or something, but
yeah, something like that. But yeah, anyway,
it'd be hilarious if it was an anthropomorphic bear.
The whole point of the game is
you have to survive 3 rounds, each one pre-timed at I think about 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes each, 5 minutes per round.
No, 3. I think 3 per.
It's got to be about 3.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I'm so into it. I don't even know my own rules. I'm sitting here like, it's around 3, I think.
Yeah, but
it feels longer.
Besides surviving, what's the point of the match, Darren?
Well, the point is you kill salmonids, mutant salmon creatures, and they drop their eggs. You're after salmon eggs.
Ooh.
Salmonid eggs. You grab salmonid eggs and you throw them in a basket, which is placed at a locked position. The basket doesn't move. You got to run to the basket, from the basket, etc.
Yes.
All the while, along with, what are they called, chum? there are basic foot soldiers, the Salmonid Army. They're just kind of these mutant salmon creatures. Like, oh, yeah. I have you got frying pans sizes. And
you got
pots.
The little small fries. Right. You got the regular chum.
Quahawks.
And the quahawks are the big fatty.
We got the fat guy. But then you get your boss Salmonids.
Which are ridiculous.
They will destroy your soul. But every single one of them,
when
you first do your tutorial, because no matter what, you're going to have to play it. When they explain, welcome to the company. You can work your way up. Here's what you have to do. Here's the rules. They make you face at least one of these boss types down the line. And I remember just like loving every single one. And I couldn't wait to see like, oh, I'm going to teach you about the Maws. Here's the Maws. And you know, what Maws? comes beneath you. This giant fucking salmon, but it's got an angler fish.
It looks kind of like a shark with an angler fish light.
Well, you get the angler fish antenna, and that's how you spot it. It's moving through the ink towards you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, we got ourselves a Maws. Everyone get out of here. But that's the one that usually sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
Usually a boss is heralded by a foghorn. Or, yeah.
Something like that.
It kind of sounds like an Alaskan.
Kind
of. Something you hear at a camp. Yeah. Oh, I'm at Camp Wakanda.
But anyway, yeah. It's
right.
It's,
so you face bosses, and you have to survive. Problem is, the bosses are continually thrown at you.
Yes.
And they're the only ones that drop the eggs.
Yes.
So you have to kill these bosses, and some of them are very hard to face, in order to get your eggs. And not that they're hard. They have very specific weaknesses, and usually those weaknesses are very small, and you're being besieged on all sides by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of foot soldiers. So you have to stay on the move, keep the stage inked, but it's being re-inked by them. They leave trails of their own...
Green slime.
It's always green, like green slime.
Yeah.
Ink.
You're usually orange and they're green, so yeah.
Right, and I mean, it's very risky, and you know, you will mostly lose unless you watch a few hundred internet videos that explain, well, here's an easy way to kill blank boss.
Yes.
And some of them are ridiculous. They're completely armored, and the only way you can get them is like when they open up venting equipment for their jet packs or whatever, and you gotta throw grenades right in the vent.
He's speaking of the fly fish.
Yeah, well, it's not vents, it's rocket launchers. They open their rocket launcher ports.
Yeah, they have like trash cans attached to them.
Yeah.
They're completely immune, but the only way to kill them is to throw bombs into the trash cans as they're open while they're shooting you with missiles.
Yeah, and the missiles are homing in on you. So you can't stop and aim. You're going to have to do that on the move. You're going to miss the first three times. While that's happening, more bosses are spawning elsewhere on the stage.
Yeah. So it's a lot of time management and coordination with your teammates.
Yes, it is. You guys all have to work together. Over here, there's an over here button.
The problem, I was going to say, is communication.
Yeah, nobody does.
You've got two buttons. If you hit up on the D-pad, it says this way. And that's to tell your teammates there's a boss over here that we need help with, or there's golden eggs. The main eggs you collect are golden eggs that you have to return to the basket. The second button is Booyah. Which is basically a bragging right. It's like, oh my god, we beat this guy. I'm so happy we beat the round. Booyah.
Right.
And then if you get splatted, which is what happens when you get inked too much,
right.
You get saved by your life preserver.
Yeah, everyone has the same company outfit.
And if you
have a life preserver on your back.
If you hit the up button, you're not saying this way, you're saying help. And that signifies, you know, someone I'm dead, save me.
Right. And if everybody gets splatted, the round's over.
And
then you get ranking within the company.
Yes.
So you lose ranking if you lose any time before... Sorry, the first two matches, if you lose, you're going down.
Yeah.
If you survive your first two matches and get to your third, if you are all splatted, you will keep your ranking and your footing within the company.
Yes.
So you'll be fine, but you won't go up.
Yeah. Well,
to go up, you have to win.
You can lose two ways. Either not meet your quota of the salmon eggs...
That is true.
...or get everyone dead.
Right. And there's been many matches where it's like, oh, shit, we need one more egg. Oh, my God, there's 5 seconds left. You're looking around and you see one, but you just can't reach it.
Yeah.
And that's when you know...
By chum.
Right. And you're like, oh, that happens more often than people think it does.
Yeah.
But it's coordination. Yeah, hey, you gotta learn to maybe let some of the bosses come to you, which some of them don't.
Yeah.
But the biggest issue at this point is that multiple bosses of the same type will spawn. We can go into our trials and tribulations later.
I think at one point you and I were playing a match and we had five of those fly fish.
It was like five fly fishes, two of what we call the Long Island Iced Tea, and a couple other bloggers.
What those ones are called. They're like towers.
Pots and Pan Stacks. The Stack Fisher, I don't know. Yeah. I just call it, hey, we got a Long Island Iced Tea.
We got nicknames for stuff.
Right. We're yelling like Marines in the Vietnam War on radios, you know. We got Rihanna over here. Rihanna at 5 o'clock. because we call the umbrella, what are they, Drizzlers?
Drizzlers,
We call them Rihanna. And we're not the only ones.
Because they're an umbrella,
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't sing.
It's really fun to be playing and be like, we got a Long Island Iced Tea over there on the 5 o'clock. Oh my God, 2 Long Island Iced Teas, we're surrounded.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was 5 Drizzlers and I think 2. There were at least 7 bosses creeping up
on
us.
It was ridiculous.
And they were multiple types. And then we got 2 Kids' Choice Awards. The Steel Eels.
Yes.
I think there's the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse of the Samanid army.
Yes.
And those are the ones with those very specific... Because some of them you can just blast with repetitive hits to them.
Depends on which ones, but I think...
Lawnmower, man. You can get, these are these little
guys
that
come in.
Well,
you have to get behind him.
Right, but yeah, at least you they stop them in their tracks if you blast them enough.
For those of you who don't know the Lawnmower Man, it's the one that looks like a welding mask with an engine attached to the sides.
And driving it, yeah.
And it's driving
like,
it around.
It just kind of sounds like a lawnmower.
Welder's mask.
Right. So here we got a Lawnmower Man.
Yeah. We've got weird names that we've picked up.
We got
from...
Grandma coming in.
Yeah.
Grandma everywhere.
But no, I thought you can just shoot
them when they appear. They're relatively easy to get.
Yeah.
Just don't get...
But there's another way to kill it by throwing a bomb.
But the bosses end up... I want it to be debuffed. I want it to be debuffed and balanced, so it's like you cannot duplicate boss type. There should be at least one of every boss type by the time that match comes near its end. Yeah. Sorry, by that time that round comes near its end.
Yeah.
That'd be very fair. Everyone prepares. Oh, hey, look, there's a fly fish. We all know how to handle this. Let's go over there and get it.
Yeah, I think that would work.
You shouldn't be homed in on by like 17 missiles from 5 separate fly fish.
Yeah, that's a little
fucking
annoying.
Terrible.
Or as we call them, Elton Johns.
Elton Johns, Rocket Man.
Because they're shooting the rockets at you. Rocket
Man. I mean, we got Elton John here. But like,
Elton John on the West Coast.
Salmon Run is my mode of choice.
It's a damn fun mode.
I've put the most amount of time into Salmon Run.
Now, see, here's a fun thing. When playing Salmon Run, you don't really increase your rank or your level. What it does is it gives you money, equipment for customizing your characters, and tickets, which you can use to either... You spend those tickets on extra experience,
right,
or extra money, or the leveling... When you're leveling up your items, your items of clothing, you can give yourself certain buffs.
Yeah.
So it's mainly for buffing your character, but it doesn't actually affect your ranks or levels.
Everything you earn in Salmon Run is applied elsewhere into the other mode or into your character for other gameplay.
Yeah, which works, but it kind of leaves certain people behind, you know?
Yeah.
Like if all you do is play that, you're not going to get a lot of extra things.
Well,
and you have to hit at least level 30 to get access to all the weapons and stuff in the store.
Right.
So
I've made a fortune playing Salmon Run. At this point, I can afford anything.
I know you can, but you don't buy anything.
Right, and then I'm not using it in, you know.
Give me your money. Give me your money. I will take it.
So they've been gradually building, just like the first Splatoon. They've been gradually building it up into a more full experience.
Yeah.
And more recently, they have added more single-player content.
They have. They added the Octo Expansion.
Which people had been begging for. It's like, guys, Nintendo producers, can we play as the Octolings? And they basically gave you the 5-hour beat around to get an Octoling avatar.
Yeah.
By adding, oh, well, I mean, you can, but you gotta play. We added an Octoling single-player campaign.
Yes.
And then you can get your freaking Octoling.
And it is very extensive and very fun.
It's meaty.
I'd say that it is much more extensive and more fun than the Inkling single player.
It is. It is far more creative. The characters are far more memorable. Yeah. It's even got cutscenes. You sort of have like some cutscenes in the on-chip single player that it came with.
Well, the cutscenes are like only the very beginning and not at the very end.
Right.
Or like just, I think it was Marie explaining like, oh yeah, that's happening over there.
Yes.
And that's it. So, you know, like, oh, hey, you beat this level, go to the next level. And that's all it is.
Yeah.
So having that option to get, like, all the extra cutscenes and more story depth, it's great.
Yeah, like, it explores the world. And I mean, we knew this was the deal, but they finally confirmed that there were humans, and this is, like, a post-apocalyptic kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, hold on. I'm pretty sure that the single player for the regular game has, like, 30 levels, if that.
It's near 40. It's like 35.
Okay, yeah. But then you've got the Octo expansion, which has 80 separate challenges,
Right.
And then
once... Yeah, like, I wouldn't call them levels. They're all... They're, some of them are very short. Some of them are like, you have like 15 seconds to reach the goal, but here's the twist.
It's so challenging.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way, way more challenging. The first like line, because you're unlocking various lines because you're on a subway.
Oh, what's the easy stuff there?
Line's basically the equivalent of like a world. The first one's like really easy. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a breeze. And then I got to, try to use the sniper rifle while grinding on a rail. And you got to
pop all these balloons.
All 30 of them. And if you miss one, you've already just lost. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Like, what?
Yeah.
You can't just reach the end.
I'm not going to lie. The one he's talking about, I forget where it's at in the game, but that level he's talking about, it took me, like, in that level, you get 5 lives, okay, before you have to continue. I had to continue at least 40 times. I'm not even joking. That's how hard that one was for me. And I know for him, it took him, I don't think he's even beat it yet. Did you beat that level yet?
No. I didn't choose to skip because they actually give you an out if you want to continue doing
they do,
line.
They do.
Yeah, yeah, continue your story.
Yeah.
But I didn't even do that. I just quit and didn't go back.
That one was difficult. But I will have you know that I beat every single challenge without skipping. I just kept replaying it till I won. And I am triumphant. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I believe it.
It's very difficult, but I did it.
But anyways, your hub in this single-player campaign is you're on, like, the midnight train. And there's all sorts of various characters. They finally added kind of the creepier side of the sea. You're getting, like, bottom-of-the-sea kind of creatures.
You get, like, weird, like
the blind like, palefish and things like that.
They're like sea bass with legs and stuff.
Yeah, sea cucumbers, and anemones, and all sorts of, like, freaky
things. I love, like, the one anemone that looks like a high school football jock or whatever.
Yeah, there's, like, 5 of them. And, like, in between each level, they're always just kind of spawning different kind of fun
weird
sea creatures.
Because they're going from station to station, so
right.
It makes sense.
I think it's awesome. Every time I can't wait to see what boards the train, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, you kind of get the equivalent to like Metal Gear Solid 5's heads up system. You get your you're not smartphone with the holographic display. That's kind of your interface with the levels you're going to choose through that.
Yeah.
You also, you know, Captain Cuttlefish is back. He was kind of
your guide,
commander in chief
in the first game. So he's back.
He's doing almost the same thing, but he's a little more useless. He's just kind of fun to have around. Like, we need to escape this underground. How did we get down here?
And he's consistently having rap battles with Pearl.
Yeah, which is hilarious. Yeah. He's all gangsta. He's got like his bling, and he's pretty fresh looking. Because that's important to an Inkling.
Yes, you have to be fresh.
Right. Which comes back to haunt them at the end. Because there's like a new villain, and he wants to destroy. Like, oh my god, you guys quarrel over the dumbest shit. You guys only care about fashion and style and minor differences in your DNA. You guys are the same family, genus, basically. It's really funny, the monologue it makes at the end.
Yeah. We don't want to spoil it for you too much.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a new... It's not DJ. As far as...
It's not Octavia,
as
no.
far as we cannot not spoil, but no, it's a new face.
It's a new villain, and it's actually... It's pretty compelling. You didn't think it was going that way, and then it did.
Right, no,
and you're
pretty,
like, oh my god.
It's a pretty funny twist. You're sitting there like, okay. Wow. Kind of dark, even.
Yeah.
Where you like... Said villain calls you number, like, 10,008.
Yeah, you were the 10,008th
person that this villain
subject.
Fucked over, basically. Like,
yeah, test
oh,
subject
what?
In the underground, so...
Right. And you're just sitting there like, that's kind of dark.
A little bit, but you know, it's so good. It really is so good.
I vote, like, this should have been the single-player campaign. Like,
yes and no.
Well, they made this via feedback, and they thought carefully about what people kind of want.
Yeah.
And what people were wishing for to make this. So,
and they taught you new mechanics. Tell them your struggle story about the inkjet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's an episode, not an episode, there's a challenge where you get infinite inkjet, which is a finisher. It's a finishing attack.
It's a special move where you just, a jetpack that shoots giant balls of it.
Yeah, and you're sitting there zooming around, whoosh, you're up in the air, but I forget every time that the jets must be making contact with something. I just assume you're flying, but no, the jets have to be making contact with ground.
Because that lifts you up.
Yes, so, you know, if you want to climb, you need to you can jump while doing that, which I learned today. I'm like, you could even jump while I'm midair. Yeah, you get like a little boost. You can get a little higher. So you're constantly elevating your thing.
A little higher.
Just a little higher. if you're going to elevate yourself, the jets must be touching higher ground, then you'll lift up even further. But I get to like the end of the level because to end a level, you have to, shoot this thing. Now make contact with it. End of level. That's what the game had been teaching me. So you get to the end of this level, not very long, but decently challenging, but a lot of fun mostly. You're still in the first part of the Octo expansion. And I sat there for like an hour, jetting my way through the collectible, you know, stage ender, like your power star. And I'm sitting there, the metaphorical power star. I'm going, what the fuck? And I'm like dipping through it and I'm trying to like reduce my altitude and it's just not working. And someone's like, you know that you can squid or Octo, you can go into your squid, your swim form. Just press that button and whoop, you drop out of the jetpack. I'm like, oh, fucking, okay. I spent an hour thinking it was a glitch or I got a faulty download, a faulty DLC. Something went wrong on my hard drive. And someone's like, nah, all you have to do is not a better word. You have to squid. Squid and then swim up to it. Yeah. There you go. And I'm like, I didn't know you could fucking do that from your final. I thought once you were in your final form, this isn't even my final form. When you're in your final form, I didn't know that you can like go out of your final form until it was all run dry.
No, you can transform into a squid in pretty much any of your specials.
I didn't know that.
I think with the exception of the splashdown and the baller are the two that you can't do that in.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was there. I was tortured for damn near an hour. Just like, what is going on?
Before
I got the balls. Like, I should just go straight to the internet. I'm going to go straight to the internet. And I found it on Reddit because I wasn't the only one. There were like 100, maybe thousands of people like, yo, level 2-3. What the fuck? What's going on here? Why can't I grab the... We'll talk about Mim Cakes. Why can't I grab my power up or my power star?
Yeah.
My power moon.
The final thing.
Your collectible. Why can't I grab this? And everybody was asking that. And one Redditor was just like, guys, you can like squid and get it. And everyone was like, fucking what? So I wasn't the only one.
I know, but like, I'm sitting there like, huh, I can't grab it. If I could swim up to it, that would work. And I just hit the squid button. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Took me less than 10 seconds.
I did not think about it.
Took me less than 10 seconds.
I was shooting at it.
But then, again, you have to remember, I played this game after having seen the entire Splatoon 2 World Championship.
Yeah.
I ate that shit up because I wanted to get those pro strats.
Right.
And people were doing that in the match. In their inkjet, in order to avoid being shot out of the sky, they would floop, whoosh, back up again. They'd squid down into the ink, swim over, and then pop back up and start shooting again.
You can always benefit from watching an internet video or two. If like pros playing, because you learn a lot.
Those pro strats.
I was doing pro for Salmon Run. That's where I was learning a lot. We actually have a mutual, mostly a friend of mine, not a friend of David's, but he's on the friends list. And this guy owns it, Salmon Run.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to get him on the podcast.
He's a machine.
He's hard to get a hold of.
Yes.
So.
Oh my god, watching him go is like, oh my, like all three of the other teammates will be splatted. And he just says, oh, I got this, because he's actually a grenade player, which is unique to see in Salmon Run. Nobody thinks to throw their grenades.
Yeah, everyone's using their main weapons and their specials. No one uses really their bombs.
I've seen him do impossible shit with his grenades.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, man.
And like he'll throw it over somebody, over like three bosses, land right next to the guy who's down in his inner tube, calling for help, and then just, the bomb blows up, and it brings you back to life, and you're like, awesome!
Yay.
3 seconds later, you're dead again.
Yeah, right. he stays alive. And he's constantly dipping. Like, I thought he was teabagging or something, but all match long, when he's not surrounded, it's boop, 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 he's squidding, going to squid it out.
Yeah, he's refilling.
Because he's gradually refinishing, but while he has to attack. So he's shooting off a couple shots, dip, cupping, you know.
Yeah.
Shot, dip, shot, dip, shot. He has some insane tactics. Yeah. But you know what we didn't go over in Salmon Run is the higher in the company that you get, the more you're going to be rewarded.
Yeah,
you're going to make like more per match.
But I mean, like, I don't remember all the names of those things. I just remember overachiever and professional.
Yeah. When you get to the very top, you're professional. Yeah. And you're making like 230% pay grade.
Yeah. So which is nice.
Yeah, you begin because you earn little, what are the bobbles from machines called? Cap bobble, capsule bobbles? Or
capsule, yeah. Just
like machine
capsules. Yeah.
Like toy machines.
Yeah.
And that's your toy reward. Capsules. That's like your currency. Oh, yeah, you get golden capsules.
Yeah, and the golden capsule gives
you those tickets or gives you those.
Well, money is gold.
It's
gold
always,
is always money.
Yeah, okay.
I think like the orange ones are usually equipment, and I think like the purple or green ones vary on tickets of various kinds,
right.
Either food and drink tickets or the experience money ticket.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So now we've rounded out Salmon.
Yes.
But Octo Expansion is highly recommended. If you have Splatoon 2, you don't know to dive in, like, now, pun intended, to, like, dive in.
See, here's the thing. Splatoon 2, people would say, worth the $60.
Oh, yeah.
Automatic. Octo Expansion costs 20. We would say, worth the $20.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, there are people who are just like, all you're getting is some special unlockable items and a single player campaign. And
the level design is so creative.
I would agree.
And what they want you to do on those levels is so like that as here's your goal. Here's what you need to do. You read it and you're like, that sounds like fucking fun. It tortures you sometimes. But I never once wanted to put the controller down. I'm like, come on, I can do this. I'm going to go for another 100. If I have to get this and finish it, I'll do 100 more tries because it's really good at pulling you in.
Yeah.
In a way that the other single player isn't.
There was one level that I saw you play that you absolutely enjoyed. I believe it was the, get to the end.
Octobrush level, I think.
Oh, there was that one, but there was also the one where, you get to the end and you have a minimal amount of
You could only shoot a maximum of, 50 shots. But you're given an automatic weapon that shoots liquid. So you can't really count shots. But I'd say it's around 50 shots at the most. Yeah, and it's not very long. It's like the goal's over there, but you have rotating platforms and things you might have to swim up, which that means you're going to have to ink that wall. So you have to think carefully about how you're going to ink the wall. When in its rotation should I ink it? You know?
Yeah, there's a bad guy there. Do I waste ink killing him, or do I just try to avoid his shots and save my ink?
Yeah.
So it's definitely an interesting thing. That was the Octobrush one, though. Tell them about that.
Yeah, you have about 35 seconds?
33.
You have 33 seconds just to reach the end of the stage and get your collectible.
Yeah.
You have an Octobrush, and you have to pop balloons along the way.
Crates.
Target crates.
Yes.
And they go down with merely making contact as long as you have your brush down. Yeah. So most of the stage you're going to be running with your brush down, which is, that speeds you up instead of sitting there swishing. But you're also running out of ink, and you have to conserve your ink. Otherwise, you can't destroy crates. And when you get to the end, more and more and more crates are popping up. And the thing with Octo Expansion is when you get the special levels like that, if you miss a crate or you merely make contact with enemy ink or whatever the small little hang-up is, their guideline, you instantly blow up because you have an inflatable bomb on your back.
Yeah, you have a backpack strapped to your back that you cannot take off.
Yeah.
It contains all the ink you're using to shoot out of your gun with.
Right.
But it also, down at the bottom, has a bag that when you lose, inflates, fills with a bad kind of ink, and explodes.
Right. And then before that happens, is someone you know and that cares for you says really casually, "Up! You missed a crate!" And then you die.
Boom!
wait, did they put that there? Are you Jigsaw? What is this? If you think about it, it's like Splatoon Saw.
Would you like to play a game?
Yeah. I'm about to blow, oh, no. You just see Captain Cutoff. You're like, sorry, kiddo. You stepped into the mink. Time to die. Wow, I thought you were my friend. You should be more no. Oh, shit.
Now, what I love is after you beat the main portion of the Octo Expansion, you move on to kind of what you would call the post game, I suppose.
It's the very ending. You made it to Ganon's castle.
Yeah, let's put it that way.
It's the metaphorical. Now, you're in the castle.
I don't want to spoil how that works because it's actually really, it's some of the most creative gameplay.
It shakes up with the formula you thought you had
that they've done in the entire series.
Right.
But
we can tell you
the entire series, two games. But I love what happens when you die during that segment.
We can say, because it's hard to imagine what the hell that means in Splatoon, but it basically becomes stealth segments.
Well, the one section's a stealth segment, one section's a platforming segment. But, I mean, it's very creative how that works. But what happens when you die, Derek?
Well,
it's a reference to something.
Yeah, it took me about 5 deaths to be like, oh, I see what they're doing here. But anytime you get splatted, it's like, hey, Agent 8, answer, 8, what's wrong? 8! And I was sitting there is this Metal Gear Solid?
And it's even, I do believe so.
It's even funnier in the stealth segments, just because you're like, that's what gave it away to me. I'm like, oh, I'm getting caught, or these enemies are seeing me, and I'm unarmed, and I'm being shot, and they're like, 8, what's wrong? 8!
Hey, answer me! Agent 8!
Yeah, there's 20 variations on it.
It's
just plain old 8. E-E-E-E-E-I-I-I-I-G-G-G. Just 8!
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. It's a fun little Metal Gear joke. which, you know, it's permeated other games. Like, I think it was Sly Cooper. The very first moment of the Sly Cooper series is you landing, and it's like your turtle techie friend calls you. He's like, Sly, can you hear me? Is the radio working? Sly! Sly! And you're like, I'm here! Jesus! That was the first time I'm like, hey, this game made fun of another game way back in 2004 or 3 or whenever that game came out.
Yeah. But I think that the general overall thing that we're saying about Splatoon 2 is it's a pretty good game.
Yes.
Now, I like to turn the tables a little bit and talk about some of the things that we would like to see changed.
Yes. Putting our thinking caps on here.
Yes. From a thinking cap.
That's our thing. We're thinking between the worlds here. Lines. Okay. So we can say lines. We're thinking between the lines. Yeah, we love the game, but how can we make it better?
There's a couple of things. One, I would say, make it easier to play with your friends. You can do private battles, but that's just the two of you, or the three of you, or the four of you, depending on the thing. What I would like is to be able to do turf war. Right now, in order to do turf war with your friends, one of you has to select turf war and get sorted into a lobby, and everyone else has to click friends and try to join that person.
And pray that you get slotted
right
in.
And then you have to wait until there's an open spot on that roster for you to get joined into.
And people are constantly being switched in and out. It's like a game of Jenga if you're watching it.
And it's completely random whether you are on your friend's team or on the opposite team.
Your chances are, I mean, you can't even...
Yeah.
There are no odds.
Now, there is a way to play with your friends in ranked mode that's a little bit better, but you have to be a team of two or a full team of four. And that's a little annoying.
There's also the Shoal, which they added for Splatoon 2.
Well, that's for private battles.
Right, it's like a private arcade kind of mode.
Like, that's only if you want to play a local match or an online match with your friends and only your
friends.
There
should be more accessibility.
Like, I would love to have all of my friends together on the team, like all four of us, you, me, Eden, and maybe, I don't know, Madison when she gets the game, because she really wants to play the game.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a Switch yet. And, you know, hop in, be on a team versus the online players, and actually fucking coordinate.
Right. Well, Salmon Run has a great setup.
Yes, Salmon Run, you can do that.
Yeah, if they could import
It's the four of you versus a CPU.
Yeah.
It's not the four of you versus other
live
players.
Opponents
there's
also
no, there's
have to
no
be
challenge.
Right.
I mean, there is a challenge, but it's not like.
I'm just saying it should work like that. One of you goes, okay, I'll create a lobby, and they will hold this space.
Yeah.
Until all of us have clicked ready, or the lobby leader says we're all ready.
Well, that's what you do for ranked battles, but you can't do that for turf war.
Yeah, it should be.
And turf war should work that way.
They should slot that right into turf war that system.
Now here's a fun thing as well. I don't see why they did this. You can raise your level all the way up to level 99. And then, if you go over 99, you'll start back over at level 1 with a star next to your name, next to your level. That way you know that you've gone over the top and come back around. And you can keep doing that until I think you have, like, 2 stars? 3 stars?
I'd imagine
3. No one's done it yet, as far as I know. But,
takes a lot.
And then for the rankings, you've got like D, C, B, A, S, and now they've added rank X.
Extreme.
Yeah.
Well, the game is perpetually stuck in the 90s. Yeah.
Well, the cool thing about it is I believe when you're playing S rank, you can play with other S ranks, like plus and minus. And you're playing with A ranks, you can play A plus, A minus, and then A. X rank is a solid thing. If you're an X rank, you play with the best of the best players.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
You're doing sports.
Yeah.
You're doing esports at that point.
You could technically luck your way up to an S rank.
If you keep ending up on the right teams.
I don't think you can luck your way up to an X rank.
I doubt it. But up to S is rolling the dice, really. It's putting in a lot of play.
Yeah.
It's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
I don't have the heart. I'll begin to build rank. Grades, sorry. There's more like grades than that. I'm building grade, and then it's like, oh, but I lose a match, and it sends me... At least in the first game, it was more... It would send you plummeting points and points and points down.
Yeah, here they have the meter that will, like, fill up your place. Or it'll hold you in place and start cracking.
Yes.
And if it cracks, then you drop down.
And Splatoon needs to keep making changes like that.
Yeah.
Because it's still very accessible.
Yeah.
Regardless, but I think it could be more... I think they need to start adding you know, they instituted X rank. That was a good way to say, hey, listen, we've added some top tier stuff, but you have to earn your way there.
Yeah.
I like the idea of adding levels, not like, you know, like levels of experience to the game. Like the casual. You can, so you're secretly finding casual mode, easy mode, you know, intermediate, normal mode.
Okay.
Just through the modes you're playing, through the...
All right, so instead of like working up a rank into a thing, you're like, hey, I just want to play casually, and you jump into the casual lobby.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, and I'm saying they basically have that now. For the most part, like if you're C-minus in ranked, you're going to be playing with other C-minus players.
And Cs and C-pluses.
Okay, so you mean C, but, you know, they yeah. mostly, I think it's got a smart sort of some sort, like an AI that just, you know.
If it's
a bunch of C, we'll put all the C-minuses with C-minus, maybe a C in there, because they'll kind of be your squad leader, because they're probably better.
I'm pretty
better.
Sure that if you're in a C, all different Cs are allowed in your group.
I know. I've seen it, but it's more likely and more often it's going to be whatever you are is what you're going to be matched up with.
Yeah, I kind of want to try and just get to the lowest rank I can in one of these modes and just see how low that is. What's the lowest?
That's C-minus.
Like just try to tank everybody on my team as many games as I can in a row.
Your name will be known.
Well, the good thing about the Switch is you can change your name at any fucking time.
You don't
want to
play with the Extreme Guy or whatever your screen name is.
My current screen name is Davner. Right. But you can't add me that way. You have to have my friend code. If anyone who listens to this would like our friend codes, at least mine, message me. I'm always looking for new people to play with. So, yeah.
Hey, Think Between Worlds on Twitter. Hey, so what is your play code? Your friend code, right?
I don't have it on me right now.
I was saying an example. Yeah.
You know, tweet at us, email us, you know, the thing. But anyway.
But it's found Splatoon 2 more than one has finally found a way to kind of put levels to play.
Yes.
Levels of enjoyment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Modes. I'm losing the word here. Tiers, I guess. Tiers are a good word.
Yeah.
There's tiers hidden in there. You just got to find them.
Yeah. It's a very...
Mostly good... casual. That's how I play it.
Yeah. It's a very good game. You're more casual than I am. Whenever I play, I try to get, like, really into it. But the problem is that my internet at home within the past, like, 6 months has become so crap. I have gotten dropped out of the last, like, 8 matches out of 10. It's ridiculous. I'll be mid-match... And you know, I'll see the most feared words in Splatoon. The connection is unstable.
Oh.
And
hurry, finish the match, quick.
Yeah,
quick.
I swear to God, I was playing a ranked match of tower control. My team had the tower right up next to the very end. I got the connection is unstable, and everyone else kept playing. I got cut out of it and put in my own map by myself.
Your own purgatory.
The tower wasn't moving. There was no one else around.
What is this?
I'm just sitting there in an empty map.
I've gone to hell.
Just inking stuff because I'm bored. Right. Waiting for it to boot me.
That is
It is the worst.
I like how it creates its kind of a Twilight Zone purgatory mirror map
to
throw you
into.
And
the same thing happened. I was playing Salmon Run. In Salmon Run, you have to do 3 fucking rounds. The first round, it was okay. The second round, it was okay. The third round, we had 20 more power eggs than were required for the quota. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that big bonus. And then I got dropped because my connection was unstable. We had 2 seconds left. The map was essentially clear because my teammates and I had done our fucking jobs and knocked out all those boss salmonids. And I got dropped and didn't get the bonus. I was so fucking pissed.
Yeah. I mean, it's a game dependent on...
Ah!
It's a multiplayer. It's an internet game.
Yes, it is.
But Nintendo, revolutionized it, because people, you know, people get images of the pay to play kind of.
Yeah.
You think internet MMO, yeah, these days it's all these.
Yeah. Well, speaking of pay to play, up until now it's been free, but I believe in September they're adding the paid internet access.
Yeah, it's like the 19th or the 9th.
Some of that, hopefully. That makes the internet a little stronger. That doesn't work with my internet. That might not fix my personal internet at home, but we've still had connection issues like here at your house.
Regardless.
You've got like
there's a lot
awesome
going on.
Internet, so.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Splatoon, server-wise.
So let's hope that with the paid servers, the paid internet, that they up the quality.
Yeah.
You know? Be awesome.
Yeah. Another thing I'd like in Splatoon, 2.
Yes. Or 3.
Or a 3, which there'll probably be a 3 down the line.
Probably give it 2 more years.
Right. And they will continue to add variety to the game modes, or just new game modes entirely. But, they're on a good path. There's not a whole lot more I can change. So, except, like you said, add more hair colors, eye color, things to customize your Inkling or your
Octoling now.
Octoling. I almost said Octarian.
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Octarian are more like the enemies.
Octarian are the bad guys. The mutant. Technically, your Octoling is a member of the Octarian race. So.
Right. It's just, and I think they will continue to do that because they're going to support it for almost an entire... at this point, up to the end of 2018,
something like that, yeah.
And they surprised us with like a new level,
yeah,
the other night that hadn't been previewed.
You told me today that there was a new level, and I'm like, what?
So yeah, because usually you're on top of this. I'm like, oh, you heard about the added the poolside hotel?
Well,
top
that's because Game Explain usually does map reveals, or as I
it's
used
on
to
your
watch,
Switch channel, yeah.
Swimming Bird used to talk about it a lot. If you remember him on YouTube, Swimming Bird, I just showed us a few of his videos. He'd go in-depth into every weapon and map and everything. He kind of just fell off the map. I'm not really sure what happened to him. He kind of just disappeared. I'm not really sure what he's up to these days. But, it's
maybe
it's
a couple
really
more
good
weapon
game.
Types.
I mean, we had this idea
There's a lot. I mean, you have to use your imagination. You have to think about something that can throw liquid or throw ink or throw...
Well, I think you and I had an idea for a mode. It was like 7v1 or 3v1, where like the three
King
main...
of the hill.
Yeah,
you know, King of the mountain.
The three people or the seven people that are in the match are shooting ink, and the one person has like a water hose. And if you know anything about Splatoon, water kills inklings. Like really fast,
yes.
So like you have to work your way up to the top.
Yeah, we were thinking about Mario Sunshine. We're like, what if there's that mode? Maybe they have two versions of the King of the Hill thing. One of them is you have to clean all of the ink they've, inked all, clear all the ink that they've inked all over the stage, that they've splattered the stage with, and you got to kind of play Sunshine. You have to try to. It's the inverse of the way you're usually playing Turf War.
Yeah,
you need to clean that stage, and the more you clean, the closer you are to winning.
Yeah.
So if the majority of the stage is inked, you've lost your match.
Speaking of
they get points if you've...
Speaking of which, given the inspirations that obviously come from Flood, just in general with the design of certain weapons and such, why in the hell don't we have Mario clothes as part of a DLC pack?
That might be
coming. I would love to be an Inkling wearing a Luigi or Waluigi hat.
That might be coming.
That would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
I'd be down for that.
Maybe that's a Splatoon 3 thing. They could add character costumes.
Because
every game does that now. Oh, you've unlocked a star, Bayonetta.
Well, Rayman had the Mario and Luigi
outfits. Right, Rayman, you can play as Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach.
Wii U version.
Yeah. A lot of Nintendo games are crossing over, especially if it's like, oh, well, we're a third-party title, but we're going Nintendo with this. You even in those games, you're going to be earning. Oh, Mario suit, Luigi suit.
Yeah, I earned the Samus gunship in Rocket League.
Yes.
I don't play Rocket League anymore because I fucking suck. But I earned the Samus gunship and I bought the Back of the Future DeLorean because sweet, sweet time travel.
Right.
Anyway.
I'm going to burn my way through this ball. Oops, I went 30 years into the future. The ball's, ball's just sitting there and everyone on your team is like, that DeLorean is so useless. The minute that guy revs 80 post, he's just going to disappear from the fucking field.
Well, that's only if you have fuel in the flux capacitor. Whatever.
Yes. But yeah, we love that idea. That's like the one big thing we've contributed. That's our Think Between Worlds thing here for this episode. It's like, we've come up with a mode that we...
I think we had a similar one where like... it's not just King of the Hill,
you didn't let me finish.
Okay.
I didn't even finish. I was thinking maybe that's not fair because they need to be able to distribute points evenly. You can't have one person gets all the points. Maybe you should have support.
Well, the points would be, contributed evenly, but, distributed.
Sure.
So it
but
works.
Get more people in on the match as much as you can.
Well, if I was saying 7v1, the one person got like a high power.
I was just thinking, you turn a lot of the other weapons into water weapons or water guns. You have two people on your flanking helping you, because I mean that'd be really hard to clear that stage unless that water hose is a lot like a stingray.
That's what I was
thinking.
And
you're going through walls and shit.
And not through walls, but you're definitely
very
like,
powerful.
Yeah, you're definitely it's very
and
powerful kind
large
of
large rate, large.
I'm thinking
area of
I'm
attack,
thinking
you know?
like a fire trucks, fire hose.
Oh, no, that's what comes to mind when I think of it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Like, they're on, like, you mentioned King of the Hill. I was just thinking, like, on an even playing field. But that makes sense, having them elevated above and, like...
Well, what if you're just standing on a spire and you can't move?
That could be...
You're basically a stationary water
cannon. They can't
cannon.
Shoot you, but you can shoot them, yeah. kind of a
and
thing.
And since there's seven of them, I mean, they'll get a lot done no matter how good you are. They're going to be doing a lot of damage to that stage.
And along those lines, I had an idea as well, similar to that one, where it's not just, like, covering the ink and, like, they're shooting at you. Like, maybe, like, there's the platform that you're on is solar-powered. And as they cover it up, your platform lowers to the ground, and then that makes them easier to shoot you, kind of a thing. And if they cover up the solar panels with the ink, and you get low enough, they can kill you and win. So you want to keep the solar panels uncovered.
That's
kind of
good.
Thing.
You add something, a weakness, something they have to kind of go after to get you to
level.
Yeah. So that's our little corner. Well, hey, say Dev David and Dev Derek.
Yeah.
If you... In some other dimension where you did dev at Nintendo, what was your contribution to Splatoon 2?
That was my idea.
Would be our thing. But outside of that, it's like, it'll happen. Add more modes. The more you can add, the more variety we have, the better.
Well, I think...
More clothes,
the
weapons.
The thing I'm always hearing from you is you want more weapon types.
The problem is...
Because
you're always like, hey, did you hear new weapons out? And I get all excited. Like, oh, well, it's a Splatling. And I'm like, well, I mean, there's like 18 Splatlings.
Yeah, but the problem is I've asked you, what kind of weapon would you want them to come up with? And you're like, I don't know.
I would personally like a less powerful, like a bazooka or something that's like the Rainmaker, but less powerful.
So is it less powerful than the blaster or the sniper rifle? Bamboozler, done.
The Bamboozler feels literally like a dart blower, at least to me. So there's something that packs power. So it's like a combination of a blaster and something that looks... Maybe it doesn't have to be a new weapon type, but the way your Inkling will hold it will make it feel like it's a different... Maybe you even have a different victory and loss animation because of the way you're going to be holding this. Mm. So, I mean, I can't think. Is there anything that the Inklings at this time hold over their shoulder?
Ink brush. An octobrush.
Okay. Well, but like a bazooka or a rocket launcher?
Oh, not since the first game. The first game we had the Inkzooka as a special move.
Right.
And then the Rainmaker goes to do.
I don't know why you don't
just
add one Inkzooka as a weapon. You know, they're sitting there kind of holding it. You know, oh, I got my bazooka. We have dualies now, which are double handguns.
Yes, and they give you the ability to dodge roll, which we didn't have before.
Right,
so.
Which is everyone was really into getting the dodge roll. And then they added the Splatbrellas, which was awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's a
part
shield
part offense.
Yeah.
Which is really neat. And then,
Tentabrella, which is actually a fucking, like, tent.
Yeah, and then you launch... And it kind of paves this path. You can kind of swim or shoot through your... Because eventually it leaves the umbrella handle.
Yeah, it detaches
and
just
jets forward.
Off, yeah.
Right. But I'm thinking we don't have a big handgun. Why not have like a big chunky something evocative of like a Magnum? Or, you know what I mean?
A big old hand cannon.
That's
kind of like the Squeezer. But, you know, you're looking for faster firing maybe? Because the Squeezer packs
a lot of range. Packing a punch.
Yeah. Okay.
But like I said, if it doesn't, it doesn't have to control or it doesn't have to attack differently. If it just looks different,
I think
is even what I'm happy.
If they
with.
Could find some way to like incorporate an ink brush into a sword, like as you swing it,
that
it,
would be cool.
It sends like small waves of ink ahead of you.
Yes.
But like if you get up close and personal and you slash with it, insta kill.
I would even love if
you
they
have,
added.
It's up close melee.
I love, so, you know, here's a neat idea. Oh, is there going to be any more single player? Probably not, but if there were, I'd love to add a story that's evocative of kind of like an Indiana Jones, like, serial, where at the end of each portion of a world, World 1, World 2, World 3, I don't know what you would call those hubs, just like six different hubs for your total of 35 stages. When you beat a boss, you might get a cool ancient artifact or an ancient weapon. So I'd love the idea of getting a bow and arrow, like an ancient Octarian. Think about their kind of their fundamental weapons they must have had when they were beginning as a race.
You actually just popped on something that I was just thinking of in my head.
Yeah, like, oh, I don't want to do like a bow and arrow or swords,
but
gloves.
But like, how cool would it be if that bow and arrow, the arrows were like fountain pens that when they landed on the ground, an ink puddle slowly seeped out of them.
Right.
So like, you could hit people and that'll cause them damage, but if you miss and it hits the ground, an ink puddle seeps out of the fountain pen right. like a bleeding pen.
Right.
A pen that bleeds in your pocket.
That'd be cool.
That kind of a thing.
Evocative of basically dipping yeah. an arrow in something, shooting.
Yeah. I was also thinking of how cool would it be if, like, my sword idea was a quill?
Yeah. Because you know? The quill uses ink.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you know?
I would love to say that, yo, how do we get those into the game? How does that make sense? Oh, easy. You add a single-player campaign, and your character's kind of a world-traveling archaeologist Indiana Jones ripoff. Inkiana Jones.
Stop it.
I don't know.
Just because you have that Temple of Doom poster behind Squid. You in this room does not mean...
Squid Deanna Jones. I don't know. But yeah, you just kind of go around and that could be your single player campaign. You go through cool temples and ancient areas. Yeah. It's something evocative of like a Tomb Raider, Uncharted.
No,
that'd be really fun.
So
they... I just had an idea here. It's the popular thing and it might not be right for Splatoon since I said Uncharted. Mm-hmm. They may... This is more Splatoon 3 here. Add a cover system.
Cover. That wouldn't
That's
be
something
too bad.
You can't do.
I would enjoy that. Having the ability to cover and duck behind things
right.
easier.
And I
as
guess,
opposed to just swimming up to it in ink form.
Right. And with more prowess, eventually maybe you can have destructible, walls. Or, you're hiding behind those little, maybe sandbag type. They're only ever waist high in most games.
Yeah.
They can start blowing those away. So you can't stay there for too long.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there because thankfully I said Uncharted. I'm like, hey, they ought to add cover-based shooting into either a single-player campaign eventually or into the main multiplayer modes.
Yeah. They're pretty cool.
But that's really all I can think of because
the
game is well-rounded.
The only thing that just popped in my head is we need Inklings to be more prominent in other game types. I was like, wait, we already have Inklings in Mario Kart, so that's good. And now they're coming to Smash. So I'm like, nah, I think we're good with Inklings.
They're beginning to kind of get overexposed.
Yeah.
I wish Olimar got that much love,
Well,
people kind of, they yearn for new IPs. Here's the paradoxical nature of being the Nintendo fan that whines for the IP. Is they usually go, oh, hey guys, look, a new IP. And everyone's like, that looks lame. And so they're terrified to do new IPs.
Yeah.
And they go, fine, we'll go back to Mario and Zelda. Jeez. And then we're going to bitch about, they only ever do Mario and Zelda.
Yeah,
it's sad. But I'm really glad because Splatoon it's the big new IP that Nintendo's probably been praying for, as well as the fans have been praying
for. Oh, definitely.
So they must be feeling confident.
Yeah.
Then again, ARMS might have dealt a blow to them, to their esteem again. Because ARMS, there's a community that loves it.
Oh, definitely.
Right. So
but
I'm sure they're very happy that it has fans.
It's nowhere near as big as it could have been.
Right.
That game has so much stuff behind it that it could have been super huge and had its own fucking worldwide tournament invitational.
It was good
of
them. They were adding, hey, we're going to continue to support with new arms, new characters.
Yeah.
Free of charge.
New maps.
Right, which was, each character comes with a new map, which is really cool. And
I like their matching system for online.
Yeah,
it's all
definitely.
Randomized, like your little bubble floating around, and then, you beat the bubble, bloop, you click together, and then you battle that person.
Yeah.
And it's always a random game mode.
Well, that's what Splatoon needs to do now when you're waiting. They need to add more, mini games.
Yeah.
Because they had mini games in the Wii U.
Yeah,
which
but
I
the
love.
Wii U, you had the mini game on the gamepad,
right,
and
love.
The main TV was
floating.
The matching, the lobby.
I say chat room, but it's lobby, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lobby with
they need to
everyone joining, what map it is, what your weapon is you've chosen.
I mean, you can watermark your mini game. You can still see the lobby and just have whatever mini game you're playing just kind of be faded on top of it or under it. Everyone could just be clashing into each other. It's kind of cool.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, maybe do maybe add a bullet hell. It's kind of watermarked into it. You're a little squid and you're firing and all these things are coming down the screen. And your match is.
Isn't there a bullet hell mini game in Splatoon 1?
I think there. You earned four different mini games.
Yeah, I don't think we ever earned more than two.
Yeah, we had two. We had the dance.
Yeah,
DDR,
and then the main
rip-off.
Squid jump.
Yeah, which I love squid jump. It was kind of like Flappy Bird, but not.
More
vertical.
I was going to say it's more like Ice Climbers, original Ice Climbers.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
But imagine if you kind of faded and kind of watermarked it into the actual lobby of the main screen here.
It'd
be fun.
Yeah.
You could just kind of have it under this. It's just 8-bit. It's not a lot of power. It's not a lot of work to do.
And
but that's about it.
We're kind of rambling at this point.
Yeah.
I did have a question for you, though. And it has something to do with Splatoon, but also sort of Smash related. But because it's Splatoon related, I'm going to bring it up here. I've been seeing a lot of videos recently, and since we started this podcast with Smash, bringing up Smash at any point is kind of allowed in my mind. People are talking about how the Inklings are going to be in Smash, and we have these Echo Fighters. Do you think that they were going to put in an Octoling Echo Fighter at any point?
No.
If they did, would you be okay with that? Or would you just be like, what a waste of space?
If it were an Echo Fighter that was a named character, that would be neat. So if they added Captain Cuttlefish, Marina, Pearl,
well, they were thinking Octoling.
So Calamir assist trophies.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're saying Octoling as a mirror, an Echo trophy of the Inkling you play as.
Yeah, if it's just a complete Echo and just an Octoling,
I'm thinking you bait off the one from the Octo expansion and then also have like alternate versions based on the enemy types.
I would not be for it.
No?
Totally not. But like I said, if it were a named character or even an Octarian villain, an Octarian creature design. As something to play as,
like
that wouldn't be an Echo, like a
regular little Octo,
right, or something neat like that. Wouldn't be an Echo at that point, but I'd take that over an Echo Fighter.
All right,
so I'm like, one, they're probably,
because right now
there was a pretty negative reception at E3 to the Echo Fighters.
There is and there isn't. People are like, oh, that's really cool because I can play as the character I'm okay as, but with a different palette swap. That, you know, just, it makes it better. You know, I don't like Peach as much. Daisy's my girl. That kind of a thing, right. You know?
I'm pretty sure there was a lot of flack raised. I'm sure the dev team's like, oh,
well, there was
they're still sore about this.
There was a lot of flack raised, but also a lot of people were, like, excited that Daisy was in the game.
Ugh.
And the thing
cool,
is,
I guess.
If you think about it this way, the clone characters, some of them have evolved. Dr. Mario is now so far from being a Mario clone that he has evolved from that and become his own character.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could happen with future Echo Fighters. They could develop their own fighting style in future games.
I think I should just rephrase. Yeah. I'm wondering if they're feeling hesitant at this point.
Well, they could be.
Hesitant. Yeah, I'd imagine they're back to like, we plan on releasing 5 new characters, all of which were Echoes. Maybe we should.
No, Sakurai's going to release whatever the fuck he wants.
Right, at this point.
Because he's Sakurai.
Yeah, he's in the never ask me for anything mode. And now I'm going to do what I want from here. So.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask that question of you because I've been seeing it everywhere.
I would not.
Everyone's
want.
Like, give us Octoling, Echo Fighters.
I don't understand why you wouldn't just scan an Octoling in. They both shoot ink.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could switch up their playstyle. I haven't seen anything in Splatoon 2 that makes their playstyle different. They play exactly like an Inkling.
They do, but so does Pit and Dark Pit. So does Marth and Lucina.
Dark Pit shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I think the only difference between Marth and Lucina is where you hit with the blade does more damage.
Well, that's enough.
I think like Lucina, the tip of the blade does more, or Marth, and like Marth like, further up the blade does, like mid blade does more.
Yeah.
But like that's about it. You know, I think speed's a little thing different as well.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, just the Inklings versus the Octolings. The Octolings could have like a higher jump.
Right. Or... If they played different enough, sure, whatever, go for it.
Yeah.
At this time, I'm like, nope, no, those spots are reserved for the Ridley types.
You just want new characters.
The new ones that have a completely unique play style.
All right. Like I said before, I'm totally fine with Echo characters as long as they don't get their own character slot on the menu, which it looks like they don't. So I'm excited for that.
We have to wait to see more.
Yeah, I have to wait to see more, but I'm pretty sure Pit and Dark Pit are just used to cycle through Pit till you get to Pit with the Epsilon.
Yes.
But anyway.
Splatoon 2!
Splatoon 2!
Yeah, like back to
I brought up the Octoling thing. That's related to Splatoon.
Yeah, but we almost spun off onto Smash.
We almost did, but that's very easy to do.
Highly recommend it. This is one of the new IPs. It's big. It's bad in the good way. It's big. It's bad.
Yeah. Now, badass. Out of 10, what would you rate this game?
Splatoon?
Just the game, not the Octo expansion.
Yeah. No.
Just the main game.
I'd give it about an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
What would you rate the Octo expansion?
Also an 8.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then the two of them combined?
8. Okay. I'm doing averages here. Yeah.
All right, yeah. I'd say the main game gets about a 7. Octo Expansion definitely gets an 8. And altogether, I would say it's about an 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say about 8. But the enjoyment factor and like the legs that it's had and the longevity it's going to have, it's a pure 10 because it's like you're going to keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
And it's probably almost done evolving here. Around December, going on to the new, because they're going to be done.
I do like our weapon type ideas, though. The water hose possibility, and like the bow and arrow.
I would like a couple, maybe at least one more match type and or multiplayer mode.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We probably won't get it this game. Maybe
that's a Splatoon 3 probably.
Yeah.
But that would make this like the perfect package for at least having a fun time on the couch with your friends or at a distance with your friends.
Yeah. So. Hell, you can even get all 8 friends together in one spot and play on a LAN thing. Yes. All octo of us.
That's a tentacle thing.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Anyway, that, I think, about wraps it up. If you guys have any comments or questions, please feel free to email us at thinkbetweenworlds@gmail.com. We have a Twitter, at tbetweenworlds. We've got Facebook and Tumblr and the whole thing, and message us anywhere. And of course, please feel free to rate us on iTunes. It gets our podcast more views the higher the rating is, or just the more we're rated in general or commented on. So please, please, please do that so we can get more people thinking about different things with us. As Derek said earlier, we are the premier positive podcast.
Yeah, we got that compliment the other day from somebody.
Yeah.
They were like, you guys are unusually positive. And we're like, that ought to be our thing.
Let's own it.
Right. And maybe we should try to step out of our box and try to maybe find something we almost despise or things we just didn't really enjoy and force ourselves to try to defend it.
Yeah.
That might be a fun thing down the line to do.
Look out for next week. We'll be doing a Marvel update with Ant-Man and the Wasp. And then after that, we have our season finale. It'll be ending the first season.
Yes.
And moving on. We'll take a couple month break.
Yeah.
Might get a few bonus episodes or editorials in between now and then. Season one and season two. But for now, thank you all so much for listening.
Yes. Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. The Theme Between Worlds podcast was created by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon. It is hosted by David Kennedy Farner and Derek Dillon. It is edited by David Kennedy Farner. And it is produced by David Kennedy Farner, Derek Dillon, and Madison Snedden. Music by Kevin McLeod from incomtech.com. And cover art by Davey Jones. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next world.
Woomie.